This is the Walt Whitman Show on the 4th of July, 2018. And I am about to boot up Periscope and record something special in honor of the 4th of July. Now, I've just recorded something about the difficulties of the United States of America. And I don't intend to repeat that. I put it, I don't know, up on some social audio place where only a few people will find it. But Periscope is different. Periscope will go to the world via Twitter. And I'm somebody who is in love with Walt Whitman. I don't mind saying that I'm in love with Walt Whitman. You know, it's a better word to say you're in love with something than to say you're obsessed with it. But I do believe that Walt Whitman has something relevant to say to the United States of America on this, let me just spell this, on this day, Walt Whitman, W-H-I-T, Walt Whitman Show. Yeah, I celebrate the United States. I'll just call it the USA. I celebrate the USA on 4th of July. 2018. Okay, that's the title of the Periscope. People are going to come. I'm just going to start it. What am I going to do? I haven't got an American flag, but I do have a photograph of Walt Whitman. It says the connection is too poor here in my house. That's a pain in the neck. This is going to be quite a long piece of audio, by the way. I'm now going to try and make sure that the Wi-Fi is booted up. I've never done this before. I've never booted up an audio recorder while I've been going on to Periscope to do something. It's now initialing the video stream, and as soon as it says that the signal is good enough, and it ought to say that, I will be able to crack on with the show, if you like. Cracking on with the show is easier said than done. For some weird reason, my iPhone is not good enough. I'm going to need to select everything, copy the title, come out of Periscope, and go back in again. I imagine that there are massive celebrations going on in the United States. It must be the equivalent of St. Patrick's Day here in Ireland. At last, I think I can actually go live. I don't really expect all that many people in the United States to come here. Let me just see who is going to arrive on the 4th of July. I mean, who? John Posega is here, and welcome, John Posega. This is a photograph of Walt Whitman. This is a photograph of a photograph. And Robin Milne is here. Oh, well, look, as far as I'm concerned, if Robin Milne is here, and John Posega, who I don't know at all, is here, that's enough. I don't mind who else is here, because I've just been talking to Robin Milne via an audio app called Lemur. She may not even... Globetrotters, hello! Okay, guys, the situation is that I'm recording this on audio. Yeah, James Chapman. You're an amazing, wonderful person. Favorite author during college? Oh, Walt Whitman, yes. Good, good on you. Oh my goodness, Andrew. Our torricle is here on the 4th of July. Look, let me just give it to you straight between the eye. I intend to read Walt Whitman. I've been thinking about the 4th of July, and I think that there for me, I want to celebrate the 4th of July, but I'm not interested in celebrating the 4th of July by just simply setting off a few fireworks and, having something that is. No, I want to. I've got a certain kind of way of celebrating the 4th of July, which I want to do, which is, of course, I got no business celebrating the 4th of July. It's an American celebration. But on the other hand, I do think that I want to present a Whitman-esque celebration of the 4th of July. Oh my goodness, Kathy Hessler is here. Oh my goodness. Look, I want to thank you all, especially, I mean, I have to say, especially people from the United States who probably, would be up doing their own kind of celebration. I drink a glass of red wine to you guys. I wish I could tell you what kind of red wine Walt Whitman liked. I could tell you what opera he liked, but I couldn't tell you what kind of red wine he looked. The only person I looked to is Andrew. Perhaps Andrew. Perhaps, yeah, some Americans don't have any business celebrating the 4th of July. On this 4th, I'm wondering what Plato would say if he saw the state of this republic. A very, very relevant question. Equal opportunity. You're welcome to celebrate with us. Yes, I'm Yankee Doodle Dandy. Fantastic. Okay, guys, I'm going to give it to you straight between the eyes. I'm going to give you Walt Whitman. So, first of all, I want to say cheers. Thank you for your company. I intend to read Walt Whitman a good chunk of a particular piece of poetry called Song of Myself. Now, some of you won't even have heard of Walt Whitman. You won't have a clue who he is. American guy, born 1819 on Long Island. And he was born, it's love your beard. Robin, we've got a heat wave over here and we've got a water shortage. My story is I haven't got enough water to shave the beard. Back to the key point, Walt Whitman, born Long Island, died Camden, New Jersey, 1892. Journalist, editor, politician. Never got elected, by the way. Never went up for election. All of those things. And eventually he became poet. And he went from being living in a world where people vilified him, where lots of people called him nasty names, even worse than the leader of the United States calls people. Well, no, that's an exaggeration. I take that from that last phrase back. Hello, Globetrotters. Globestopper, sorry, I'm back. House builder to Homeric bard. Well, look, I'm going to read you from Song of Myself. Was he the one that did Walt Whitman chocolates? I don't know anything about Walt Whitman chocolates, but people who know me will know darn well that I will be particularly interested in finding out about Walt Whitman chocolates. I'm just experimenting. I'm just thinking, if I raise the glass that high, it's better than down there. Just give me 1 minute. I'll be back. Talk among yourselves. I'm sure you all know the phrase to stand on the shoulders of giants, even if I can't remember who it is. So here we have on the shoulders of giants, Roger's Thesaurus. Where would we be without Roger's Thesaurus, right? On the shoulders of giants. I don't know who this guy is, but they say he's got some talent. And he just, I mean, he's English and he comes from Stratford and his wife is Mary. And, I believe he's quite talented, He might yet catch on. And I don't know why I put this one up here. Here we have this one. This is Bluffer's Guide to the Universe. You know, this is the kind of thing you want to have. You know, this is better than... I'm going to open it at random. It tells me that Sir Ian Standish Monteith Hamilton, who lived from 1853 to 1947, was an English soldier born in Corfu. I won't say any more about him. Okay, I'm now going to lift a glass up to a height. Is that any better to talk to you from? Okay, here we are. Yes or no? Is this better or worse? To Walt, yes, to Walt. Now, maybe that's better than the other one. I'm just about to go into reading mode now. That's why I'm actually asking. Is it better or worse? I could, of course, go to here. Do you know what? I think that's better. Okay. Has anyone supposed it's better to be born? Has anyone supposed it lucky to be born? That's the real question. Has anyone supposed it lucky to be born? I hasten to inform him or her it is just as lucky to die, and I know it. I pass death with the dying and birth with the new washed babe, and am not contained between my hat and boots, and peruse manifold objects, no two alike and every one good, the earth good and the stars good, and their adjuncts all good. I am not the earth, nor an adjunct of the earth. I am the mate and companion of people, all just as immortal and fathomless as myself. They do not know how immortal, but I know. Every kind for itself and its own, for me, mine, male and female, for me, those that have been boys and that love women, for me, the man that is proud and feels how it stings to be slighted, for me, the sweetheart and the old maid, for me, mothers and the mothers of mothers, for me, lips that have smiled, eyes that have shed tears, for me, children and the begetters of children. Drape. You are not guilty to me, nor stale, nor discarded. I see through the broad cloth and gingham, whether or no, and am around, tenacious, inquisitive, tireless, and cannot be shaken away. Just listen to the poetry and it'll tell you why I celebrate the 4th of July. I celebrate the 4th of July because, you know, it's a day for fighters. It's a day for fight, to fight. You know? It is a day to fight. A day to solidify the struggle. Like Walt Whitman had this to say. The little one sleeps in its cradle. I lift the gauze and look a long time and silently brush away files with my... No, flies. They didn't have files in Walt Whitman's day. And silently brush away flies with my hand. The youngster and the red-faced girl turn aside up the bushy hill. I peeringly view them from the top. The suicide sprawls on the bloody floor of the bedroom. I witness the corpse with its dabbled hair. I note where the pistol has fallen. The blab of the pave, tires of carts, slough of boot soles, talk of the promenaders, the heavy omnibus, the driver with his interrogating thumb, the clank of the shod horses on the granite floor, the snow sleighs, clinking, shouted jokes, pelts of sunballs, of snowballs, the hoorays for popular favorites, the fury of roused mobs, the flap of the curtained litter, a sick man inside borne to the hospital, the meeting of enemies. The sudden oath, the blows and fall, the excited crowd, the policeman with his star quickly working his passage to the center of the crowd, the impassive stones that receive and return so many echoes. What groans of overfed or half-starved who falls sunstruck or in fits? What exclamations of women taken suddenly who hurry home and give birth to babes? What living and buried speech is always vibrating here? What howls restrained by decorum? Arrests of criminals, slights, adulterous offers made, acceptances, rejections of convex lips. I read again, rejections of convex lips. I mind them, or the show or resonance of them. I come and I depart. The big doors of the country barn stand open and ready. The dried grass of the harvest time loads the slow-drawn wagon. The clear light plays on the brown, grey and green intertinged. The armfuls are packed to the sagging mow. I am there. I help. I come stretched atop of the load. I felt its soft jolts, one leg reclined on the other. I jump from the crossbeams and seize the clover and timothy and roll heads over heels and tangle my hair full of wasps. Okay, I'm now going to read part 10 of Song of Myself. You know, and why are my hearts brown? Because I am in a poopy mood. Oh my God. Robin Milne from California in the United States, a little bit north of Palo Alto. That tickled me. Robin Milne, by the way, is a painter, a person who applies paint to a surface. That surface may even be newspapers, but she also uses canvas. And she has a website, Robin T. Milne. She's R-O-B-B-I-N. Alone, far in the wilds and mountains, I hunt, wandering, amazed at my own lightness and glee. In the late afternoon, choosing a safe spot to pass the night, kindling a fire and broiling the fresh-killed game, falling asleep on the gathered leaves with my dog and gun by my side. The Yankee Clipper is under her skysails. She cuts the sparkle and scud. My eyes settle the land. I bend at her prow and shout joyously from the deck. The boatmen and clam diggers arose early and stopped for me. I tucked my trouser ends in my boots and went and had a good time. Should have been with us that day around the chowder kettle. I saw the marriage of the trapper in the open air in the far west. The bride was a red girl. Her father and his friends sat cross-legged and dumbly smoking. They had moccasins on their feet and large, thick blankets hanging from their shoulders. On the bank lounged the trapper. He was dressed mostly in skins. His luxuriant beard and curls protected his neck. He held his bride by the hand. She had long eyelashes. Her head was bare. Her coarse, straight locks descended upon her voluptuous limbs and reached to her feet. The runaway slave came to my house and stopped outside. I heard his motions crackling the twigs of the woodpile. Through the swung half door of the kitchen, I saw him limpsy and weak, and went where he sat on a log and led him in and assured him and brought water and filled a tub for his sweated body and bruised feet and gave him a room that entered from my own and gave him some coarse, clean clothes. And remember perfectly well his revolving eyes and his awkwardness. And remember putting plasters on the galls of his neck and ankles. He stayed with me a week before he was recuperated and passed north. I had him sit next to me at table. My firelock leaned in the corner. Now there's a storyteller at work. Okay, he's a poet. He's using the forms of poetry, the number of words you can put on a line, the shapes, some poetic tools of the trade, I'll call them. You know, alliteration, punctuation, condensation, all of those sort of stuff he's using. Configuration, dispensation, amelioration. God, we should be playing a game, shouldn't we? Word game. Remember that, Andrew? Remember the word games we used to play? Oh, God, those were the days, my friend. I thought those words would never end. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I don't like you to be excluded, so I'll tell you, we had a little game on here on the Walt Whitman Show, in which we began by saying, look, the only thing you're allowed to say in words, I think we'll play it right now, right? We'll interrupt and we play it right now. Okay, the only words you're allowed to put up are three-letter words. Off you go. Put up three-letter words, as many as you can, right? Not allowed to say anything else other than three-letter words. Off you go. Big. Yes, sir. Very clever. Zoo. Andrew, used to be three-letter words beginning with a certain letter. Oh, it was. Hold on, folks. Stop the game. I want a letter of the alphabet, please. The first single letter I receive will be the letter. Right? I saw him and got sad. That's very good. Okay, we're going with the letter F. Robin Milne got in front of you, James Chapman. Okay, I want, please, we want, three-letter words beginning with F, please. Three-letter words beginning with F. Forget every other letter of the alphabet. Three-letter words beginning with F. Fly, far. And in fact, sentences that have several three-letter words beginning with F. Fly far, fed far, fry. Fee, fi, fo, fum. Excellent, Cora. I wondered who'd get that one in. Well done. Fee, fi, fo, fum. Oh, we've hit a lacuna. We've hit silence. We've run out of three-letter words. Okay, we're going to far. Them, few. Okay, let's move to four-letter words. Four-letter words beginning with F, please. We'll have four-letter words beginning with F. Yeah, you can use any words you like on this show. Four-letter words beginning with F. For, from, farm, frat, feck, feet, fame, fizz, Come on, let's have whole sentences, please. Flat, foot. Ah, 4 feet flew fast. James Chapman, you're getting the idea, although I think you're actually pretty experienced myself. Okay, we're going to five-letter words. We're going to five-letter words beginning with F, please. Five-letter words beginning with F. No four letters, no six letters. We're going to five-letter words, you know, like ferret, forum, fruit. Yeah, we're on five-letter words beginning with F, thug, gin, thug. Fruit, yes. Films is allowed, foodie. You are allowed to kind of cheat with putting an S on the end, by the way. Okay, how are we doing on five-letter words beginning with F? Okay, somebody call Lars. Give Lars a ring. Frill. Yes. Okay, now we're moving to six-letter words beginning with F, please. Frost. Yes, Robert Frost. Excellent. Excellent. We're moving to six-letter words beginning with F, please. Six-letter words. Frozen. Good one. Frozen. Frosty. Oh, that's another Robert Frost poem, isn't it? That's good. I like that. Yeah. Freaky. Now we're getting interesting. Oh, we're getting interesting. Wait till we get to 20-letter words, right? We're on six-letter words. Freaky. Frosty, flimsy, okay, bye down, Mark Frassel, absolutely. This series of The Walt Whitman Show is dedicated to the memory of Mark Frassel, our great friend. Mark, we're with you. You're with us, sorry, you're with us. Okay, seven-letter words beginning with F, please. Seven-letter words beginning with F. I want seven-letter words beginning with F. Yeah. Friend. Yeah, feeling is good. Feeling. Yeah, we need feeling. We need foolish. The only words now we want are seven-letter words beginning with F, please. We want foolish. No, don't worry, James. Don't worry, James. A mistake by you is historic. It's historic, you know. It's a bit like discovering a typo in the writing of the man who wrote Wigan Pier. Anyway, have we got any more seven-letter words beginning with F? These are all much too easy, aren't they? You're not even bothered. Friends, feelings, foolish. Okay, we're moving on now from Fragile by Andrew there. Yes, we got Fragile, right? We're moving on to eight-letter words. I'll take the lead on eight-letter words, please, beginning with F. I can't spell fiendish, but that might be a nine-letter word. But anyway, we're getting to eight-letter words beginning with F, please. Yes, somebody tell me how many letters there are in frolics. Yeah, you're just mad with power now. No, it's not now. I'm mad with power all the time. Feelings, yes. Fiendish, lovely. Flirting, see, you're getting into the hang of it now. You need five-letter words ending with ing, starting with an F. That's very good. You know, and we'll soon be getting to long words like philosophy. Fearless, I love it, I love it. James Chapman, you're much too clever for your own good. Right, okay, we're now moving on to nine-letter words. I'd like some nine-letter words beginning with F, right? So those of you who are into philology, you can think of nine-letter words beginning with F. Flirting, yes, okay. Now, frolicking, that's four and four, eight. That's 10-letter word, you're disqualified. 10-letter word. Nine-letter words we're looking for. You hold on to frolicking. Foursomes, I like that. Anyone here else interested in golf? James Chapman has led us off in an interesting direction.